Good morning, doctor. I need your help today because I'm just not seeing very well. I'm not seeing with clarity. I'm tripping on steps and I can't read very well. I'm having a difficult time. I need clarity for my vision.
Please sign right here.
Okay.
Right here.
Please sign right here. Okay. I want to right over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't see. I'm sorry. It's the print's too small. Okay.
For this, check and see your eyes.
Okay. Excuse me.
You see?
Kinda.
You see now?
Oh yeah, that's a little bit better, but I think this eye is a little bit, needs a little adjustment.
Now can you see?
Yeah, it can. That's great. That's going to be a big help.
Now let's check and see if I have the right amount of glasses for you, because I think I have a good pair.
Okay.
There it is.
Well, those look nice. Oh, wow. That's perfect. Thank you so much.
Can you please send out this form?
We sure will. Oh, it's nice to be able to read again. That's so nice. Thank you. Almost done here. So nice to be able to see again. Here you go.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
See you in 2 weeks.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. That was fun. Doing that little skit with my granddaughter, Grandpa, and Tatum and I are having a little fun playing. I told her before, I said, just pretend we're playing in the backyard. Don't worry about it. And so she did a really good job. She's a good eye doctor. Thank you, Tatum, for doing that. Thank you very much. Today I want to talk about clarity. Clarity is the title of the message today. So with that, let's go to Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for this time to share your word and the insights that you want us to receive. I pray that each person that hears this message will take it to heart, will take the advice, will be encouraged by it, will be lifted up, will be directed in a way that helps them, in particular through the days that we have right now that are difficult. And I just pray, Father, that you'll bless them, bless the message. In every way, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, I focused my message on 1965. And today, I want to flash back to 1972. In 1972, there was a Christian movie series that was released called A Thief in the Night. A Thief in the Night was the first of the series of these Christian movies. And they focused on the rapture, on the tribulation period, on eschatology, those things that are yet to come, is looking forward to what was going to happen. And they were focused on that rather than just their daily situation. And it did have an impact on them, and it helps us to have an impact too. When we have our focus in the right place, it'll help us go through these times that we're having now. The title and the movie plot itself was to remind us that we are to have an unexpected event. And that unexpected event is going to be the Lord's return. And when the Lord returns, we don't know when he's coming. In fact, Scripture says that the Son doesn't even know when the Father is going to send him to come and get the church, the bride, to snatch the church out of this world as we know it today. So one day, Christ is going to be sent by the Father, and he's going to just take us, snatch us right out of the world. That's called the rapture. But we don't know when that's going to happen. And the Son's waiting for the Father to tell him when that's going to happen. An interesting point, and we'll see this in a scripture later. I'll try to remember to point it out in that scripture. But you and I actually are vessels that can make that day of the Lord coming to take us out of the world to be with him, the rapture, we can make that day hasten or come quickly or quicker. And that is by sharing the gospel of Christ, which we were talking about as well. I want to read that passage of scripture that deals with that in 2 Peter 3:10-14. It says, but the day of the Lord The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for, and here's that phrase, hastening the coming of the day of God. How? By sharing the gospel. Because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace. That's a quiet rest or a conscience that's clear with God. So be diligent to be found by him, by Christ, in peace with God, a clear conscience with God, without spot and blameless. The day of the Lord composes a few things. It composes, first of all, Christ coming back for his church, the rapture, coming back for the bride. And he's looking so forward to that, and we should be as well. The second is that it introduces, as the day of the Lord, it's a time period, an era, a period of time where the tribulation period takes place over a seven-year period. And then it also is the time period which at the end that Christ comes back at the second coming. And that's when he actually stands on earth again and comes back, and we with him. There are those three things. And we should look forward to that. That should encourage us to keep that focus that God is in control and that he's doing his work. In that passage of scripture, there are three times in verses 12, 13, and 14 that we are told to look forward or look for the Lord's return. And that, again, is in reference to the rapture and the second coming. So God intends for us to look forward. He intends for us to keep in mind what he is doing and what he is in charge of, and that we're to be looking at spiritual truth. So people who simply live life for the present are short-sighted and do not see life with clarity. And what I mean by that is this. If we tunnel our vision into just what we're doing here on earth, especially as believers, then we are not going to have the proper perspective that God wants us to have. God wants us to have the perspective of, yes, we are journeying through this world as we know it, but we are not of this world. We are God's children passing through this world, and we're to keep in focus God's purpose and plans he has for us. One being he's coming back for us at the rapture, and then all that's yet still to come. And so we're to keep that perspective and not be short-sighted, but look at the overall picture. Step back and remember that what we're doing here, if we're not careful, we'll be dragged into the focus of what's happening in the here and now, like so much stuff is happening, and not step back and go, I know God's in control, God has a plan, and God is coming back for us, and so in the rapture. So in this movie, A Thief in the Night, there is a prime character in the movie. Her name was Patty. And Patty and her husband, it shows in the movie, they were together, and then all of a sudden her husband was gone. Now, I don't remember specifically. I think they had gone to bed and woke up in the morning and she saw that her husband was gone and his clothes were laying there, and that God had taken him up into heaven, clothed him in robes of righteousness and took him up into heaven. So Patty did not obviously believe in Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior, and her husband did. So it was a rude awakening for her. She woke up and where's he at? And it really happened. Once she got a grasp of that, she realized it's true. It really happened. But she had not received Christ. She was left behind. And so it left her in a position where she was stumbling, where she would be stumbling through life without a greater picture, without a greater understanding of what's to go on. She, in essence, had a blurred vision. She had that tunneling vision of what's going on in her life right then and there, and not really knowing spiritually the things that are happening that God promised in eschatology or future events that are yet to come. Because the rapture happened, the next thing that's going to come is that Christ will come back in the second coming, and all those that believe in him and his angels will be with him. And so she has no perspective of that as a character. So she has no hope. And she's just in the midst of all the anxiety and the trouble that's going on in the world. And it will be a time period on earth where such as the world has never seen before, because it's a time period that God is literally pouring out his wrath on earth, not for any wrong reason. He's showing people that he means business, that he is who he is, what he says he means, and that he wants people to realize that he provided a way of salvation for them, that they might come to know him as their Savior. So maybe if the world crumbles before them, they might look to God and receive him as their Savior. Some will, some won't. We know that will be a reality. So Patty was obviously short-sighted, and in particular, again, spiritually, because she had never received Christ as her Savior. And so that's the worst position anybody could be in, especially in the tribulation period. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but that can happen at any time. Christ could come back now. And that actually begins the tribulation period right then and there. And so we need to be ready for when Christ comes back. And the way we do that is we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And it's very simple. And we know you may have heard, I'm sure you have, the one verse that's most popular, that's well known, the most known, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so if you believe that God sent his Son to die on the cross for your sins, meaning to take the punishment that we should receive for our sin from God, that Jesus instead took the punishment from God for our sins on the cross, and then he died as a result of that, and he was buried, and he rose from the grave, and he's alive today in heaven. And then if we believe that, now understand that believing is not just the knowledge of it happening, because in all honesty, Satan knows that that happened, but that doesn't mean that he's saved by any means, no. But believe, there is a word in Greek meaning pistuon, which means to rely on for one's spiritual well-being. So God loved us so much that he sent his only Son, who is innocent, to die on the cross to take the punishment for your sin and my sin. He was buried in the grave. On the third day he rose. He's alive today in heaven. And if you not just believe that intellectually, but then in your spirit you believe that it really did happen, then you can ask God, in your own words, to forgive you for your sins and to please come live in your heart. And if you do that, then he will come in your heart and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So just tell God that you're sorry for the sins you've done. Ask him to forgive you for them. Tell him you're going to live your best for him, and invite him to come in your heart. Put it in your own words, and he will come into your heart and he will never leave you nor forsake you. But getting back to the term short-sightedness gives us a lack of clarity. It's kind of like these glasses. Where did those glasses go? Oh, the doctor put them away. She's a short doctor, but she's very good at what she does, and she takes care of things, doesn't she? So we have these optometry glasses to adjust, to measure how our eyes are doing, so we can get the proper adjustment in glasses so we can see with clarity, all right? And so when we go to the doctor, that happens. And he corrects our blurry vision, right? And in order to have correct, when we get corrected vision, life becomes easier. I know that if my eyesight's out of whack and I need a new pair of glasses, that before that, I'm usually noticing that I'm having difficulty reading, things are blurry, I'm adjusting what I'm reading, I'm getting headaches because of it, or straining and my eyes are tired. A host of different things indicate that we have a problem with our sight. And people that live in this world without Christ also know that inside of them that there's something missing. And that something is Jesus Christ in their life. Getting the proper clarity of vision will help us through life. Let's give you an example. If you were to take these glasses and just, you know, as Dr. Tatum was doing, she was adjusting the eyes, the settings, the lenses, and flipping and clicking them. And so if you were to translate that into a spiritual perspective, now what I mean by that is that if you were to change that from the literal eye exam to a spiritual adjustment in our life, the only way that we can have true spiritual vision is by accepting and receiving that first click in our spiritual eyes. That is that we believe in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. But the next is that as we follow Christ with a genuine heart, seeking after Him, that God will continue to adjust our vision so that we can see things from His perspective and not our own. That we are understand spiritual truth, spiritual insight, we understand more of His Word and what He wants us to grab hold of as we're going through difficult times. We know that during this time period that we're facing in our world today, I keep thinking about the poor people that have died without family members being with them through the coronavirus, just being alone without Jesus being right there in their heart with them, not having that comfort, not having hope. That's a tragedy, and that's so sad. And yet there are so many people that are in the world today that do not know Jesus as their Savior and need to know Him, need to have their sins forgiven and have a relationship with Christ and to live a life that is not just from a perspective of this world, but is spiritual and spiritually enlightened through Christ living in their lives. And so the first click on the spiritual eye adjustment is to receive Christ. And then from there on, God continues to adjust our eyesight spiritually to help us to see Him and His ways, His purposes, giving us knowledge and wisdom and all the things that we need to help us to hang on to the truths and the promises that God has set before us. I want to give an example about another example about eyesight and vision. Ronald Reagan was, obviously most of you know, our former president. And during a time period in his youth, he had written in his diary or in one of the books about him that of a situation that he had when he was younger. And when he was growing up, he had saw most of the world was blurry to him. And one day on a Sunday drive, he's with his parents. He picked up his mother's glasses that she happened to have set them on the seat. He picked them up and put them on, and he was excited. He started yelling with great excitement. And his parents didn't understand what is going on with Ronald back there. He's yelling with excitement. He put his mother's glasses on. It just happened to be that the lenses in his mother's glasses were the prescription that was enough for him to notice a change in his vision that helped him. And so he says this, quote, "I discovered a world I didn't know existed before. Until then, a tree beside the road looked like a green blob, and a billboard was a fuzzy haze. Suddenly, I was able to see the branches on trees and leaves on branches. There were words as well as pictures on billboards. A new world suddenly opened up to me." And that's really the spiritual vision or the clarity spiritually that God wants us to have. That so many are going through this world without any clue of what is really in front of them. They don't understand the circumstances of life from a perspective that God wants them to have. For the believer going through difficult times, we first of all know that our Savior is with us, loves us, will never leave us nor forsake us. But we also know that He's sovereign King and He rules over all things. And so we can praise Him for that and know that He keeps us in the protective care of His hand. That's just one thing that will help us with our spiritual journey, with our spiritual vision in the world that we live in today. So when we receive Christ in our hearts, we're challenged to start living a life that's obedient to God. Now, I know a lot of people have a tough time with the word obedient because that translates rules and that translates restrictions and all that. But let me share a spiritual oxymoron, if you will. The more we abide by the guidelines that seemingly restrict us, the more freedom we have in life spiritually. The more we yield to God and live for Him by His guidelines, the more He opens up to us freedom and new life in Him. And that's what we need to understand to be able to grow in Christ and to be the people He's called us to be, is to simply say, I want to be obedient to what God has told me to do, because in doing that, I'm going to be closer to Him. He's going to give me greater understanding, greater perspective, not just of spiritual truth in the Word, but how to deal with life and circumstances that are going on based upon the truth of God's Word. So to gain and keep the clarity of vision, we need to keep looking forward. And what I mean by that is that I know that Christ is coming back. You as a believer knows that Christ is coming back first to rapture the bride, to actually snatch the church out of the world, like a hand reaching through a curtain in a theater and grabbing hold of the person in front of the curtain and snatching them out behind the curtain. It's that type of effect where He comes down and He just scoops up all believers in Christ and takes them back with Him in heaven. That's the rapture. But then we also know that He will come back for us at the second coming, or He will come back and we'll be with Him at the second coming. And so we're to keep looking forward to those things. I've been praying, you know, and thinking, you know, Are these times that we're facing now, is it possible that in your life, in my life right now, that Christ could come back and that we could experience being that small generation that actually avoids physical death and is translated, transformed with a new body through the rapture that takes place when Christ comes to take His church, the bride, out of this world? It is possible that can happen, and in that we're to keep our eyes focused on a broader perspective. God is sovereign, God's control, God loves me, God's in my heart. I know He's coming back one day. It might be part of that in my life where He actually comes back during my lifetime. I know that He's coming back in full glory and authority at His second coming. All these are promised to us. And in that, we can find security as we expand our view of life and circumstances into that spiritual perspective that God says is going to take place. It helps us to feel more secure. It helps us to grow more faithful in Him. I want to read to you in Philippians 3:14 and 15 real quickly. It says, this is Paul writing, he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. That's looking heavenward. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. What Paul is telling us is saying we need to have the vision, the clarity, to look forward to the goal that God has set before us. He's coming back for us. He has a future for us that's eternal. We have a calling on our life to be His people in this world that we live in today. But we can't do that without spiritual clarity. We can't do that without a proper perspective by being a believer who's walking faithfully and obediently in Christ Jesus. And as we do that, we grow in maturity, and we continue to grow in maturity as we follow the Lord. And that's what that means by being obedient. And obedience will help us to grow in maturity in Christ and become that much more stronger, bolder, confident, and secure when we're facing such uncertain times like we are today. So the spiritual focus must be focused on those things that are not seen. Without Christ, we're looking at the world for the things we see. But as believers in Christ, we not only see the world as it is, but we see things through a spiritual lens. An example of this is in 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so as we put our faith and trust in the things that aren't seen yet, the promises of God that yet are not fulfilled, then we need to understand that putting our stock in the truth of God, Christ and his word and the promises that he gives us of eternal life and a new body and all the things that he's promised us forever, those are eternal things. But if we put all of our stock and focus in the things of this world, those are only temporal things. And they don't last, and they fade away quickly. Like buying a new car, it only takes a few years before you're ready to buy another one. I want to look at another example of being obedient to God. God wants us to be obedient to him as fully and completely as we understand how to be. And what I mean by that is that as we grow in Christ, God will continue to show us where we need to change our behavior to become more like Christ. But in Joshua 22:5, it says, "But take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." That's Joshua 22:5. But through all time, God has expected people to be obedient to him in everything. And we have that example with Adam and Eve in the beginning. God gave Adam and Eve guidelines and consequences to breaking those guidelines. And he expected them to be obedient. Yet in his knowledge, he knew what was going to happen, that they would choose not to and fall in sin, like you have, like I have. But praise God, as believers, we have been forgiven of our sin through faith in Christ, who took our punishment for us on the cross and rose from the grave and now lives in our hearts. And so we need to learn God's way through reading God's word, studying God's word, applying it to our lives, so that we can grow more and more into the character of Christ, not becoming Christ himself, but developing the character of Christ. Like our kids learn our character. And I can hear you and feel you almost cringing right now, because we know that they pick up our negative characteristics as well as our positive. God wants us to pick up all of his positive characteristics, to become more Christ-like in him through receiving him, learning about him, applying what we've learned, and growing in maturity in the Lord. Maturity will bring us clarity, new clarity for our lives. He'll constantly be showing us new perspective if we're willing to continue to grow and to walk in obedience to Christ. So like each click of the lens of the optometry testing equipment adjusts our vision, God will adjust our spiritual vision as well. Let's quickly go back to 2 Peter 3:12 and 13. It says, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. Now remember I said that? Your responsibility and my responsibility in this time to help us to have a spiritual focus is to share the gospel of Christ with people. The more people that come to Christ, the more people that are reached sooner will hasten the coming of the day of God. In other words, the more people are reached, when God sees that work is accomplished in the church age, then he will come. But it takes you and I to do that. And so that's what he's talking about. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Remember, the day of the Lord, it's not just the rapture when he comes back, but it's the time period and era in which he brings forth tribulation or trouble on the world as the world has never seen before, not out of hate, not out of malice, but truly, and in a way that we don't think, but out of love, to shake people's securities from their foundation, that they might look to God and receive him as their Savior and have eternal life through him. Nevertheless, in verse 13, We, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. You see that spiritual vision, that very spiritual sight? That's what the Apostle Peter is writing about. They had a spiritual sight. In spite of what's going on, they were looking forward to his promise. Promise is secure. Promise as if it's already done type of thing. You have won $1 million. It's done. It's final. It's set. It will be. You don't have to hope that you get that check in the mail, but you will get it. That is a promise. And so, and he said, as the Apostle Peter says, nevertheless, we and the other apostles, according to his promise, Christ's promise, look for what? New heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. If we store our focus, if we store our treasures in heaven, that's to say that we're putting our focus on the things of God through this life, not on the things of this world. And in that, we're investing in eternal purposes that will never fade away, instead of investing in the things of this world that will fade away. And so they had a spiritual focus, looking to the new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That's a beautiful statement. One day in the future, God promises that there will be a new heaven and a new earth where no sin, no darkness, no evil, no wickedness, no sorrow, hurt, pain, all these things that corrupt the world won't be there anymore, but everything will be made absolutely perfectly right in his righteousness. And it will be all good, and it will all glorify God. And so looking at that perspective is important. The coming day of the Lord will bring judgment, and then finally removal of all we know. This world that we have now will pass away. That's what's going to happen when the Lord comes, that he is going to work that judgment on this world. And a new life will begin for all those who love the Lord and follow him. If you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior today, you put on spiritual lenses that now will help you to look at life from a different perspective, that God will continue to adjust and help you to grow in that vision and spiritual understanding as you live faithfully and obediently to him. That's a promise, something that we look forward to, what he's going to do in our life now and what he has promised us yet to come. So we are to keep our eyes focused ahead. We are not living for the here and now. We are living for our future, the promise that has been given, the coming day of the Lord. So keep our eyes focused ahead. Don't live for the here and now as a priority. Live for the future that God has promised, living for Christ and all that's ahead, because Christ will come and make things right one day. We are not to live disobediently or ignorant of his word and ways. We are not to live foolishly and selfishly, which we do in our own carnal ways. We are to fulfill, and we are not to fulfill our personal pleasures outside of God's will. What I mean by that is that it's okay to have personal pleasures, but don't allow those pleasures to be things that are outside of God's will or in opposition to God, which are very close, if not the same. And we're to be living with an eternal mindset that gives us a broader perspective of our lives and where we're at and what we're going through. We're to look forward with clarity of vision, focused on life with God here, now, and with God forever and the promises that he's given us. So we don't want to wake up one day like Patty woke up one day in the movie, the Christian movie, Thief in the Night, where she woke up and realized her husband was raptured like he said it would happen one day. Like I'm saying to you, it's going to happen one day. And she woke up and it was a reality that she came to grasp, and it was mind-blowing to her, to say the least. And so we don't want to end up that way. We don't want to live our lives short-sighted of the truth of the promises of God's word. We don't want to miss the opportunity that we have to have a relationship with God and to live eternally with him. Now let me clarify something with that. During the tribulation period, people can receive Christ as their Savior, but they're still going to go through terrible, terrible, terrible times as the world has never seen before. But if you've received Christ before Christ comes back to take us out of this world, then we are not going to be in the wrath of God. God's not going to pour out his wrath on his children, on his bride, whom he loves. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18, we're going to wrap this up. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I always use this passage of Scripture at a graveside to present the hope and the promise that we have, that the dead in Christ will rise first, and all that remain will be changed in the twinkling of an eye before we can even blink our eye, and we'll all be caught up together in the air to meet God, to meet Jesus in the air, and never be separated from him again. Comfort each other with these words. So I'm going to ask my brother in Christ, Bob, to come on up, and he's going to demonstrate the blowing of the shofar. And this is a ram's horn trumpet used by ancient Jews at religious ceremonies and as a battle signal. And we might hear something very similar to this if we're here, like I said earlier, if we're here when Christ comes back and takes his church out of the world, called the rapture. Listen to this and keep that mindset in your spiritual eye. Through life, think about, I might hear the trumpet call of God that he snatches us up out of this world to be with him and never to be departed from him.
Just a little background. This is a ram's horn from a kudu. It's an African animal. You can see it at the Fresno Zoo once they get it open to the public again. And these were used to sound different callings. In Moses' day at the mountain, God told him, on the third day, bring the people up here, but not to go any further than the base of the mountain till they hear the sound of the shofar. So in Exodus 19:16, you can read about how God had the shofar used for gathering the people in. The Jewish people have four distinct sounds. One's called the tekiah. That's the first one that gathers people in. The shavarim is to break camp. There's three different sounds. And then they have the tekiah that is a sound of battle. So some of the people were on the watchtower and they were looking for things that were dangerous. They were announcing to them to gather up and prepare for battle. The last one is the tekiah gadola, the great sound. And as Pastor was talking about, the archangel blowing that, that's a great sound for Jesus, Yeshua, as they call them in the Hebrew language. And that is a sound that we'd all like to hear, because everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody likes to die, right? Okay, let me start with the sounds. That was all four of them together.
Oh, all four of them together.
Yeah, each one I didn't stop between. I'm short on breath.
I bet you are. Thank you, Bob, for sharing that.
I love it.
And that makes it that much more enriching. Thank you so much for that. God bless you all. Keep your eyes focused spiritually on Christ, his promises, and his grace in your life. God bless you. Go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for the promise that you've given. I want to thank you, dear Holy Spirit. You are the one that conveys your word to the hearts of every person who is listening to you. You're the only one that can reveal spiritual truth and insight and communicate the things that you want each individual to hear. And I'm asking that you have, that, and I'm thanking you, for you have done that through this message, because as your word goes out, it never comes back void. Open our hearts and eyes to be more spiritually attuned and focused on you as we go through these life circumstances and life itself. Let us look heavenward to you and for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.